are worthy of all of our praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Church, is he worthy for you today? Is he worthy, church? You know, I heard something this past week. I heard that there's a football game tomorrow night. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But some team is going to play tomorrow night against another team for the college football national championship. Right? And so you start watching things and watching the news and finding out what's going to happen with this game tomorrow night. And some of the players start to announce the impact that Jesus Christ has had on their life. You can praise God for that, right? And if you didn't know what had been going on the campus of Ohio State University, specifically the football team, there are young men that have been so impacted that they can't hold it inside of themselves, that they are telling the world and broadcasting it out, telling Fox News, this is how I stand, this is who I serve, and I'm going into this game tomorrow night because Jesus is the reason I'm here. The reason. There's this guy named Will Howard, who's the quarterback of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Fox News the other day, he said this, well, we got to trust in the Lord and lean on him just no matter what. Through the ups and the downs, it doesn't matter. I tried just to get into my Bible this past week and start to pray a little bit more. I just wanted to come back to the Lord and say, I need you. I need the impact of you in my life. I need you. Maybe you recognize Emeka Ebuka, the star receiver for the Ohio State Buckeyes. He will be in the NFL draft here in a few months. He says, God impacted my life. Somebody got to me. He came out on Fox News this past week. He says, there's been a number of players on this football team who have had their faith in Jesus Christ restored. Restored. And that was something that was big for me when I came on campus my freshman year. I wanted Jesus to impact my life while I was here. And so now they're going to use the biggest stage in college football to play a game, but many of them are professing a restored faith, an impact in their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's what you want to see, right, folks? Hallelujah. The church has launched the Year of Impact 2025 to make an impact. There are people sitting here today and watching online that have had such an impact in their lives because of you and I. Or somebody else have changed them, transformed them, impacted them, made a difference. And we're calling the Year of Impact at Cross Point Church because we're going to take it to the next level. There are more people that need your impact. There are more people that are in a position to receive what you have to offer. A better way, a better life. You've got 12 months to do that. Don't waste one single second. So let's go to the throne and pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, choose me. Here I am. Father God, I want to be impactful this year, Lord. Father God, give me opportunity to be impactful, Lord. So young men and women like these football players will stand up on the largest stage and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, let the people of Cross Point Church rise up. Let it be us, Lord. Send down the power of heaven and give us the boldness we need to reach people we have never reached. Put us in a position, an opportunity, Lord, to make an impact unlike any other. Lord God, I pray that we pray that way this year. I pray, Lord God, that you impart in each and every one of us this yearning to reach those that just don't know anything about you. More than ever, Lord God, let us not remain in a comfort position, but Lord God, I pray you give us the courage to boldly go and do what we need to do in these last days. Lord God, send us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Church, look at somebody and say, send me this day.
Well, good morning, all of you who braved the cold, and good morning, all of those of you who are watching from your warm homes online. My name is Pastor Nicole, and I am married to Pastor Brad, who just snuck out the back door because he hates this part. But I just wanted to announce again that I am hosting a milestone birthday party for this man on February 2nd. So it is not 90 or 80 or 70, as the jokes have been going around since I accidentally misspoke and said 70 once, but it is his 60th birthday. So I want to have a party and just bless him as my gift to him, and I want to treat all of you as well. So please, 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 I need your RSVPs if you are coming. Obviously, we want to invite you to church on Sunday morning as well at 10 o'clock, and then the luncheon will be in the Graber Life Center at noon, but I need my count of people so I know how much food to buy by next Sunday, the 26th. So there's a QR code on your bulletin. If you know how to do QR codes from your phone, if you can scan that, and then it'll take you to a link. You'll just put in your name and how many people. If you hate technology or you don't know how to do that, you can go out to the VIP center, and they will help you get registered there. But I just need a name and how many are attending so I can plan to order the food. And please, 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 no gifts. We just want you to come and celebrate. And we might do a little roasting of the pastor as well and show some fun videos and old photos. But we just want to come and celebrate this milestone birthday. So please do me a favor and get your RSVPs in by next Sunday, and I'm in trouble. I just shut his iPad thinking it was mine. I'm so sorry, Pastor. You better come back out. I just messed up your iPad. Thank you all. I just shut your iPad by accident.
Well, you know, I just love birthdays, right? For those who have asked us, no, the church is not paying for any of this, folks. My wife is blessing me with this gift. I'll have to work a couple extra overtime weeks, I got a feeling. You know, you are all invited. Thank you so much. We just want to make an impact, right? We are in the year of impact, right? Just a couple of weeks, 3 weeks now in? What is it? 1, 2, 3. We're just moving right along. Don't get into December of 2025 and miss the year of impact, right? We're going to do the year of impact. Hey, welcome everybody online. My goodness, what a blessing. The online campus and people throughout Canton and the surrounding area watching us today on Facebook, and so many people were saying where they're from, and it's just crazy. You know, Colorado and St. Louis and so many other places. Thank you so much. And hey, if you don't get a chance to listen to us today, now I know you are here today and the ones online, but we do put out a podcast every week. You can be blessed and listen to that. We will want to continue to get God's message out to do what? To impact people's lives, right? Let me fix this here a little bit. 2025, the year of impact. Hey, Sunday the 5th, we launched 21 days of prayer and fasting. How are you doing? 2 weeks into 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, last week I asked you to pray specifically for where God wanted you to be positioned to impact somebody. Now, I pray you've done that. You may be in that position already. And then you're going to pray, God, give me the opportunity if he has not already given you that opportunity. Lord, reveal the opportunity for me to transform a life. And we talked about that, and we launched that 21 days of prayer and fasting by the Assemblies of God National Week of Prayer, which was specific to missions. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Last week, we had Vision Sunday. Now, Vision Sunday is all about the vision for 2025. The year of impact is our vision. We talked about the things we have accomplished in this church. We talked about the things we still want to do, not only in 2025, but beyond. And then we did exactly what God had laid on our hearts to do for months and months and months. We sowed a seed of a financial blessing into Rogers Assembly of God Church, Pastor Ken and Jane Savacco were here with us. How cool was that, right? That, it was just great. We are going to sow, we have sowed $33,000, a little over, into reaching young people in the Rogers community. Now, today, Pastor Ken told me that he is announcing the vision for 2025 in Rogers is to reach young people, because this church believed that they could do it, and you seeded into that church for them to reach young people. Doesn't that make you feel just wonderful? Yes, it does. Next week, as Pastor Mike talked about, we will come together as a church body and we will pledge missions. Now, if you can't go to foreign lands or someplace else in the United States, you can send somebody. You can send somebody that's been called to do that, and you can write a check, a pledge to missions in 2025, that you will send somebody. Lord, I will send somebody. And we believe here at Cross Point that missions is critical to not only the health of our church, but reaching people, right? A church that doesn't believe in missions probably isn't near as healthy as it could be. And that is not here. We believe in reaching people. Our treasurer gave us a report this past week to the board of our church that I think roughly 12% of our budget goes to missions. So we're tithing our 10% plus some. And that is a blessing. 11, 12%. What a blessing, right? Let's do a quick review, church, on Vision Sunday. Last week, we talked about vision begins with God's purpose. Vision begins with the purpose God had imparted in our lives. Vision inspires you to act. It inspires you to act. Vision is going to face some obstacles and some challenges. If you think God's going to launch a vision in your life and you're not going to have some walls in front of you by the enemy, you're sorely mistaken. You're going to have some challenges. It's going to impact others. Your vision will impact others, and that vision will bring eternal rewards. 2025, the year of impact for Cross Point Church. We pray that our worship center is filled from here to up to the balcony, that our online campuses can continue to grow. Today, we're going to start a new series, a two-week series about impact. And if you walked in today into the house and you noticed that there are some wristbands here for you, here's the blue one that I am wearing today. It says, Make an Impact in 2025. They are on the tables in the back of the worship center. They're at the VIP and resource center. They're at the place where everybody goes on a Sunday morning for coffee. We know exactly where you go, right? They're there. Grab one before you leave here today and commit yourself to the 2025 year of impact and wear your band to remind you. Now, we're going to dive into a two-part series today called Making Your Life Count. It's a two-part series. That's the byline of the series, Making Your Life Count. What does that mean? Impactful life. Live an impactful life. Now, you're going to need the sermon notes, the message notes today. So if you walked in and grabbed yourself a bulletin, there's a QR code there, I hope, I believe there is. That QR code will show you the sermon notes, get you to the sermon notes for today, because this will be a lot to take in. So just scan that code at some point before you leave. You'll go right or take it home and do it, whatever, and you will have access to today's sermon notes because you're going to need them. We also launched a new weekly devotional. Now, if you're a part of the Cross Point Church Center app that we have an app, go figure. And Pastor Christine has launched now a five-day devotional that will show up in your app every week that is specific to my messages on Sunday. We're going to do a five-day devotion for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, to help you get through the week on what we preached on a Sunday morning. Now, Pastor Christine, I'm not sure if you gave me the go-ahead, the green light for that, but, you know, I was just perusing the app the other day, and there it was, right? I thought, okay, then, we're ready to go. You know, she's ahead of me. So, hey, wouldn't it be cool to have this? And lo and behold, we're going to launch that. She's already done that. That means a little bit more work, right, to make sure all my stuff is in. But you can follow the sermon now on a five-day devotional. So I would challenge you to do that. Let's jump in today, church. Making your life count is where your faith drives your daily actions and decisions to positively affect the lives of others. It's where you intentionally recognize that God will use your abilities aligned with divine opportunities in your life to have a lasting impact on others. What does that mean? That means God thinks you matter. You matter to God. And God is going to use you. The more you commit for impact, the more he has the opportunity to use you. You know, sometimes God positions us to make a difference in ways we don't even realize. Sometimes he puts us in a position to make some type of difference or impact, and we don't even realize he's doing it, right? God's kind of sneaky that way. He's going to place you right where you need to be. It's called positioning. Positioning. And that position is going to give you an opportunity. Without the position, the opportunity God's going to present to you may not exist because you've got to be in the position to hit the opportunity. But I will guarantee you, if you're in the position God wants you to be in, God's opportunity is going to surface. He's going to send you the opportunity. So before we get into today's message, I want to just lay some groundwork, if you don't mind. I want to give you five quick thoughts for 2025 that will make your life count. That's why I said you're going to need the notes today, church, because we're going to be flying. So the first thing I'm going to tell you to make your life count is just live a faith-filled life. And watch the screen behind me or on your device at home. It says, a faith-filled life is living with trust in God's promises, guided by his word, and walking in obedience, courage, and hope, regardless of the circumstances. Now, you notice we don't stop when we get to and walk in hope. We add regardless of the circumstances, because there's going to be circumstances, right? And that faith that you and I have is the foundation upon which we build the actions and the decisions that we will make in 2025. Your faith-filled life will fuel what you do and what you decide to do. The position God's going to give you, your faith is going to determine if you execute on the absolute opportunity that he's going to give you. Because when the opportunity shows up, it's going to be your faith that drives you to say, I'm going to do it, or your lack of a faith-filled life will drive you to say, I don't have it in me to do it. And I'm challenging us today to live that faith-filled life. The second thing is, let's live with intentionality. Intentionality. Be deliberate in how you spend your time, church, how you spend your energy and resources, ensuring that your actions are aligned with your faith and purpose. This means choosing to invest in activities and relationships that will bear fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Be intentional. There's so many demands on our time today. Live with intentionality. I'm going to do things that affect the kingdom, that impact the kingdom. I will invest in people, in relationships, and my actions and the things I do are going to have intentionality. I intend to impact the kingdom of heaven in 2025. I'm going to do it. Third, live with purpose. Living with purpose means having a sense of meaning connected to your faith. It's about understanding that your life is part of a bigger picture and that every action you take can contribute to God's greater plan. Now, that's a lot to hear on a Sunday morning, so if you need more, and you probably do, on Wednesday night, we have a small group taught by a very gifted teacher, Twyla Brenner. You can come at 7 o'clock and go to the small group and learn more about what I just said. She'll teach you the purpose is rooted in your journey with God. Your purpose shows up as you continue to do this journey of life we call a story. We want you to live a better story, a better life. She will teach you how to do that wrapped around purpose. The fourth thing to make your life count in 2025, live for the greater good. Creating positive change in the lives of others is at the heart of being positioned to make a difference. Why do it unless you're going to affect somebody's life, impact them? Whether it's through the acts of kindness or sharing your faith or standing up for what is right, our actions should inspire and transform people. Right? Our actions should inspire or transform people. Number five, to make your life count in 2025 is live with impact, which is the theme of Crosspoint Church in 2025. Live with impact. Living in such a way that your actions, words, and choices leave a meaningful, positive, and lasting mark on others. It's not just about this big headline or these big moments that some people seek. It's about the everyday decisions that reflect your values that bring glory to heaven. It's the everyday stuff that make an impact. Walking with your friends and your family, making an impact in their life by just building relationships that God has placed you in a position of influence. Quick 5 points. That's why I said you'll probably need the sermon notes today more than ever to go back. But today we're going to speak specifically on God's positioning you to make a difference, or the way he positions you to make an impact is what we'll talk about today. Positioning you to be impactful, to make a difference. Position is your opportunity. Difference is your impact. Where God positions you is the opportunity. The difference you make is the impact. Everybody sitting in the worship center today and watching online has been positioned by God. We may not think of it like that, but you have been positioned strategically by heaven. And now some of you are sitting here watching online saying, there is no way God wants me to do that. There's no way that's me. That can't be me. I can't be the person. You're going to hear some stories today that I assure you, you're going to find out that you're probably the person. And whether you accept the assignment or the opportunity will determine whether you make a difference or whether you made an impact, right? Have you ever heard or wondered why you are where you're at in life? Have you ever thought about it? I'm here today in this spot in my life. Have you ever said, why am I here in this spot? Don't tell me you haven't, because we all do that, right? Why am I in this family? Why am I in this job? Why am I in this church? Why am I in this situation? Why am I doing these things? Why do I live in this town? Why do I live in this house? Why are these my neighbors? Why? Why am I in this? Why did this happen? We ask the question of why. Why am I in this season of life? Because God's placement is never random. He positions people strategically for his kingdom. He then provides opportunities for you to make a difference in others. You are right where God wants you to be. Excuse me. Right time, right place, right person. No way. Excuse me, no way that could be me. Right, there is just no way. Pastor, you have no idea what I'm going through right now. You just don't know. There's no way God can use you exactly where you're at for anything he wants to use you for. You may have gotten yourself into a situation, but God can use you right in the middle of the situation and present you opportunities to transform not only your life, but the lives of others. Right place, right time, right person. How many have ever heard the story of Esther? Have you ever heard? There's a book in the Bible called Esther. It's not like this book that we talk about all the time. I don't know if I've used that story too much, but we're going to use it today. Esther is just such a unique young lady. I challenge you to read that book today. It's not very long. It won't take you long at all. Sit down and read it. You'll probably want to read it by the time we're done today. But there's this young Jewish girl named Esther, and we're going to use her as the example, among others, of being positioned by heaven to make a difference. When the opportunity showed up, she acted. Esther 4:14, let's dive right in. It says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But if you and your father's family will perish, but you and your father's family then will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Now, that's a dialogue between a couple of people. Mordecai is Esther's cousin. He kind of took her under his wing when her parents died to raise her and teach her. And over time, this young Jewish girl becomes the queen of Persia. Now, Persia, back in this day, hundreds of years before Jesus arrives on the scene, is the dominant kingdom of the time. I mean, it's so big. It encompassed, let's see, Iran, Iraq, parts of Egypt, Lebanon, right? It's huge. And it spanned a large geographic area. Turkey was in there, modern day Turkey. So it's big. And there's a king, and his name is Xerxes. Now, like many of the kings back then, folks, he liked to throw these parties, these celebrations, to show two things, his wealth and his power. Now, I know no king or president does that this day, right? They don't have any inauguration balls or anything, right? But he wants to throw a party. But we're getting ready to inaugurate a new president tomorrow, and they're already having these balls. But back then, the king of Persia would throw these parties that would last for 180 days. 6 months of partying to show off my power and my wealth. They partied. And he had this idea that he wanted to show the beauty of his wife. Very attractive queen of Persia, right? He wants to show her off. Her name is Queen Vashti. So he goes to his wife and he says, "Listen, the queen," he says, "listen, I want you to come out in the midst of all the hundreds, if not thousands of people, one of the celebrations we're having, one of the inauguration balls, can you picture this? And I want you coming out representing my kingdom. And I want you to come out wearing your crown for all the people to see you." Now, some speculate that he was asking her to do this with only her crown on and nothing else. Holy cow. Wait, there's thousands of people. And you want me to, what? She refused to do it. So he banished her from royalty. "You're out. This is my kingdom. I make the rules. I make the decisions. You've mocked me. You made a fool of me. You're out." So he goes looking for a new queen. Throughout the geographic area, which is large, he puts the word out, "I am looking for a new queen." And over time, they start, his royal entourage starts to build this group of ladies. Who's going to be the next queen? The king is looking for somebody. And he builds this pool of women to 400 ladies, beautiful and graceful. "I've got 400 now to choose from." Guys, don't raise your hand. don't even do it, right? "I got 400 beautiful ladies to choose from, and I am the king, and I get my selection." It's a story. And he selects this young Jewish girl named Esther. And Esther has the opportunity to become the queen of Persia. And she assumes royalty. the throne. During this time, the king goes looking for his chief of staff, his head guy. Just like your new president will do very shortly, if not already, he will announce the chief of staff, his right-hand man, that will run the administration at the White House. This king is looking for a chief of staff type of person to run his, the Bible says, to run his affairs of his life and kingdom. In other words, I'm going to tell you what to do. You make it happen. And he selects this guy named Haman. Now, Haman is evil and wicked. But maybe he could do his job really well, but he selects him. Now, this guy, he's kind of, you know, you read the scripture, he's got to be full of himself, kind of. He's just got to be really arrogant, full of arrogance, right? Because he starts doing things that people don't like. And one of the things he does is he says, listen, if you want to come into the gate of the city, you've got to bow to me. You would think he would want to bow to the king, but you're going to bow to me. Mordecai, the cousin of the queen, says, I ain't bowing to this guy. And this guy didn't like it. So he sets out on a mission to kill Mordecai. Not only Mordecai, but every single Jew in the kingdom. Wait, Pastor, you just said that the queen is a Jew. And she is a Jew. Boy, we got a storm brewing here, right? So he goes to the king as the chief of staff. Here's what I want to do. King says, I don't care what you do, go do it. I don't want to be bothered. Just go do what you want to do. So he sets the wheels in motion, and he starts. Mordecai tells Esther, don't tell anybody you're Jewish. He told that to her before. Don't tell anybody. So this guy is on a mission. And Mordecai goes to the king's wife, who is now Esther, and says, listen, you have got to save the Jewish people in this kingdom. You have got to go to the king, the only person higher than the chief of staff, Haman. You've got to go to him, and you've got to convince him not to kill us all. You've got to do whatever you have to do. And they would have this conversation. The conversation, listen, you can't go to the king without being invited to come into his presence. So that is risking her life. You want me to go? You want me? God had now positioned her to do something big. The opportunity is showing up. And Mordecai brings the opportunity to her and says, listen, you can do it. But she has got to go into the presence of the king uninvited, which means death. He's already kicked out his other wife for not listening. And now his new wife is going to approach him uninvited with something he probably doesn't want to hear because he's already told Haman he could go out and kill all the Jews. I don't care what you do. Boy, is that a heavy thing to be on her heart, right? That's the storyline as we move through the message this morning. What does she do? What can she do? What can you do when God places you in a position to make a difference? When God opens up the opportunity for you to do it, what do we do? Do we move forward knowing there's some significant consequences that could happen to us? Or do we don't do anything and we say, I can't do it. Send somebody else. No, you are the right person, right place, right time. It's you. And there we stand, church, saying, what do I do? I don't know if I can do it. I could lose my life. The king will strike me down. He doesn't care that I'm the new wife. He doesn't care I'm the new queen. It doesn't matter. In church, we're going to go through three quick points this morning using Esther as our example. And the first one is God will position you and that's going to come with some purpose. You are there for a reason. Esther is there for a reason. God knew that this was going to happen. He knew that all the Jewish people in the kingdom are going to be killed. And before anybody even realized it, he grabs this Jewish young girl and says, "It is you that's going to save them." There are some sitting here today or watching online. It is you that God has called. And God is positioning you with a purpose. And Mordecai tells Esther, you've got to go and intervene. He says in Esther 4:14, "Who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Pressure. It is you. I'm going to position. It's you. You're there with a mission. Divine placement was very strategic. Esther didn't seek the role of queen, but God placed her there to fulfill his purpose, and God has positioned you with intentionality for the exact same reason. Pastor, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this position. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be this or that. I don't want to lead this ministry. I don't want to do this. I don't want to. It is you. You are the one that's called. It is you. The funny part is, church, a lot of times you don't even realize it. That young girl had no clue. When she went through this whole process and this king selected her, she just assumed the role of queen. And God had a reason. You know, what about the story? You know, we've used the story of Joseph before. Joseph and his lovely brothers, remember? They're such good friends. Remember the story that his brothers sold him into slavery? They loved him so much, right? Remember that story? Let me give you the scripture. Genesis 50:20 says, "You intended to harm me," Joseph speaking to his brothers, "but God intended this for all good." Nobody even realized it. "He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." Sold into slavery. Over time, he rises up to be a very influential person in the kingdom of Egypt. He has authority and position to make a difference in people's lives. And here later, many years right later, he has the ability to affect the lives of his family, his brothers that sold him into slavery years earlier. Provide them some food during the famine. He had opportunity. Now, he could have said, "I ain't going to do it." But he recognized that God had placed him in a position with a responsibility and a purpose. God had placed Esther in a level of responsibility with a purpose. God has placed you and I in a position with purpose. And the opportunity shows up, right? The question we have today is, why has God placed me where I'm at? I don't even see the full picture. I don't even know why I'm here. Church, God's placement comes with purpose. You're there exactly where God needs you for such a time as this. And then he places you in the position. He places Esther in the position of queen. He doesn't leave her there. He doesn't just say, "You're on your own." He doesn't put us in a position, church, and says, "Forget it, I'm done." He doesn't put you in the job and the family and the situation of the neighborhood, the season of life that you're in, and then leaves you alone. He doesn't just leave you on an island and forgets all about you. He puts you there and then he equips you. He gives you the equipment that you need to do exactly what he needs you to do. Remember the story of Moses. Go deliver the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. Exodus 4:10-12. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm just slow of speech, slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them the sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Verse 12, "Now, go, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. Go get my people. I will speak for you, through you, and teach you. He's equipping him to do what he's, you know, he wasn't equipping him first. He says, go do it, and then as you go, I will provide the equipping as you go. Seize the opportunity. I'm not going to get you all ready before you go. I want you to trust me and just go, and I will equip you as you take a step along the way. I'm going to be there with you. You may feel inadequate. You may feel unprepared. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to equip you as you go through the situation. Exodus 4:12, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. I will help you speak and teach you what to say. Church, whatever situation you're in, whatever opportunities in front of you to do something for the kingdom, the position that you hold today, God will give you the equipping that you need, whatever it is. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. There's preparation before you get positioned, though. God's going to lay some groundwork. I gave you 5 points before we started today's message to start to equip you, to lay the groundwork. So there's preparation that goes on. What did Esther have to do to become queen? Here's what she had to do. Esther 2:12. Before each young woman was taken to the king's bed, she was given the prescribed 12 months of beauty treatments. A year to learn how to be even more beautiful. My wife doesn't need that at all. Right. 6 months with oil of myrrh, followed by 6 more months of special perfumes and ointments, day in, day out. Now, some of you ladies know exactly what that means, right? Because you do this preparation every single morning of every single day of every single week and every single month and every single year of your life. I watch it every day of my life, right? It's a tough situation, isn't it, dear? I mean, it takes a lot. We've got this bathroom off our bedroom, and let me tell you something. I told you this before. There are more lotions and potions in this room that I have no idea what they are. Because you can tell I'm not using them, right? I would open up a drawer, and, you know, we've got this big cabinet above the sink. We've got all these drawers, and both of us had some. You know, I get this little tiny area, right? Come on, there, you know I'm true. You know, and there's huge drawers right to my left of my sink and her sink. There's this big vanity in the middle. All these big drawers right there, right? There's nothing in there that's mine. But drawer after drawer I open, and it's packed full of lotions and potions and all these things and this, I don't even know what they are, right? I know, guys, raise your hand. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Right? Yeah, see? Right, I'm telling you. I mean, it's just craziness. I don't think she needs it. But Esther spent 12 months doing this, to prepare herself for the opportunity to be queen. The scripture says, 12 months. See, our ladies today just spread it out through a whole lifetime. An hour a day, every day, throughout the whole lifetime, there you got a year, right? Right? So we're still doing that today. They're doing all these things, right? God's equipping. God's going to equip her to do what? To catch the attention and prepare her to catch the attention of the king. And she's in the pool of everybody else, the other 400, as they go through this process. During the physical process to make her even more beautiful, God is in the house. God is preparing her spiritually for the position and the opportunity that's going to show up. See, that's what happens with us. We think we got to look really beautiful for the world, but God's really using the situation for us to execute on what he needs you to do on the opportunity. God spends a year with her, pouring into her, and she didn't even know it. She had no idea what was coming, preparing her spiritually and emotionally. just like he did with the disciples, equipping them for their positions. Luke 12, 11 through 12. When you are brought before the synagogues, rulers and authorities, don't worry about how you would defend yourselves or what you'll say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say. There's going to be a situation, but God's going to show up, and he's going to take you through. He's going to equip you as you go through the situation. I'm preparing you. Here's what we're going to do. So let's do a quick review, church. God's going to position you, and that's going to come with purpose, right? Then he's going to equip you for the task, the opportunity. Then what? Is that it? Can't that be it? Someone say, that's got to be it, right? That's enough. I'm willing. I'm equipped. Now what do I got to do? The Bible says you got to go boldly. You have to execute. You have to act. Esther 4, 15 through 16. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Listen, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Preparation. Do not eat or drink for 3 days and nights. And I and my attendants will fast as you do. Your pastor called a 21 days fast. Why? Because I am preparing you for a 2025 year of impact. When this is done, I will then go to the king. Notice, church, she says, when you're done fasting and praying, when we're done, then I will go to the king. I will risk my life. I will go into his presence, and I'm going to ask him not to kill the Jews. I got to go in boldly. I got to be prepared and ready to go. I will go to the king, even though it is against the law for me to do it. And then she makes the declaration, and if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going. Why? Right time, right place, right person. If not her, who? There is nobody else. God was relying on her. God is relying on you for Impact 2025. God has tasked us with something to do, right? She's going to go approach the king without an invitation. Esther had to choose between comfort and courage, and Esther selected courage. Don't select comfort, because God doesn't bless comfort. God blessed courage. Comfort is you and I. Courage is the bold action that God is asking us to do. And this young girl had to be bold and courageous. Boldness requires stepping out in faith, even when the outcome looks very uncertain. You know, what about David and going up against Goliath, right? God had tasked him to do that with boldness. Daniel, he refused to stop praying, right? If you pray, we'll kill you. We're going to, you know, and he's, now I'm going to pray. You can't tell me I can't pray. Off to the lion's den, right? Peter and John continue to preach when all the people were against them. I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach. No, you're not. I'm going to preach. Boldness. Church, our 2025 year of impact will take bold faith. In 2025, you will have to share your faith, stand up for what is right, or offer help to somebody in need. Boldness often requires us to step out of our comfort zone and trust God for the results. Church, we will remain where we are until God gets what he needs. We'll stay right where we're at. You'll stay right in the situation you're in until we rise up as a church and individuals and do what God's given us the assignment to do. And you want to see change in your home, your lives, your family, your neighborhood, all those things I mentioned already. If you want to see that happen in your life or in your church, we need to stand up like Esther did and put on an honor of courage and say, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be comfortable anymore. I'm going to go do something courageous and put it all on the line. That's impact. We will remain right where we're at until God gets what he needs. And what does he need? He wants you to be impactful. And he's placed you in a position to be impactful. And we all got to make a decision. What are we going to do? Many of you probably are starting to think now right in your head, like, here's what I got to do. I leave here today, I'm going to go do this and that. I know what God's laying on my heart. Boy, that looks risky for me. I doubt it looks any as risky as Esther walking in to see the king uninvited. Off with your head. You just broke the law. You can't come in here and talk to me. If you know the scripture, she approaches him. And I think the Bible says he uses his scepter and gives her a symbol. Like, you know, he's there, he says, like this, which means you're okay. I didn't invite you, but you can approach me now. And she lays out what she is on her heart. The only person that can stop the killing, the mass killing of the Jews. Where have you heard this before? Like Esther, you are positioned by God to make a difference, church. Your placement in your family, your workplace, your church, your community, it's not accidental. God has a purpose for you. He is equipping you, and now he is calling you and I, this church, to act boldly, to move into the room with the king. Lay it all on the line. Pastor, how's the story end? How's it end? What does courage get this young Jewish lady? The king was moved. The Jews weren't killed. Haman, the wicked right hand of the king. The Bible says he was impaled on a pole. God will not be mocked. Positioning by heaven is an anointed position. But it requires us, you and I, to move forward, take the chance, be courageous, do what God's called us to do, to reach people and make an impact in their lives. He has given you a position. He will present the opportunity. It is you and I that have to decide whether we're going to be comfortable or courageous. Some young girl named Esther decided, I'm going to be courageous. Church, I'm going to call for some commitments from us today. I would ask you to bow your hearts, close your eyes. If there's anybody in the worship center today, or if you're watching online, and you say, I want to be like Esther, I'm going to give my pledge of commitment to heaven today that I am going to be courageous. I am going to act boldly. God's placed me in a position. All the opportunities going to show up, if not already. I am not going to live comfortable any longer. I am going to go out and do the courageous thing. I will approach those people that are unapproachable. I will go into other situations that I feel is dangerous. I shouldn't go there. God will bring you through it. If that is you today, along with your pastor, I am committing 2025 as the year of impact, that we will make an impact and this church will be courageous and no longer comfortable. Is there anybody here today, if that's you, raise your hand with your pastor. Most all of us, that is us today. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ at Cross Point Church needs to do in 2025. Make an impact. There are people that need you to be courageous, to go boldly, to reach them. I pray that happens in 2 weeks from today. As people come into our service and our luncheon, I pray this church is impactful. That we use the opportunities that God has granted us to reach people, if only one. Let's pray over that commitment. Lord God, I pray right now that you empower us more than ever. Lord God, I pray that the equipping is revealed to us. Lord God, let us step courageously into the opportunity that Esther did, whatever it may be, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, you don't ask us to risk our lives, but if it is something you want us to do, so be it. Lord God, in Jesus' name, let Crosspoint Church be courageous. Let us execute, Lord God, what you've called us to do. Reach people, transform lives. Lord God, let the end of 2025 show up and we see the fruit of our courageous act. People, transform lives. In the worship center. Because you equipped us and we said yes. Thank you, Lord God, that we have now made a commitment to heaven in the eyes of heaven. Lord God, you saw the hands raised. You saw the hands that weren't raised that should have been raised. Lord God, on behalf of this church, we commit to be courageous like Esther. And I pray, Lord God, you continue to equip us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, stand with me today. That's got to make you raise a hallelujah in God's house today. Let's go out with a commitment to reach people.